tempted. Okay. Eina tefila ba kitikuna ki mitocha machshava shebeemes anashama hi tamid mispalelis. So he says that tefila is only realized to its fullest degree when it comes from the understanding that you are that the soul always is praying. As we said before in the previous paragraph, he said that the neshama reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's continuously crying out for contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, with the infinite. And so if a person doesn't recognize that, in other words, they feel that tefillah is basically, I need something, so I have to, or it's a chiyuv, so I have to do it. Tefillah, doing my love kamasa, it's like I have to do this, to burden, etc. So if it comes because he's saying, ah, now I can actually, he's saying, halohi afa umitzrapekes al doida belo shum hefsek klal. The soul is flying, so to speak, and jumping towards its beloved without, and this is, of course, Misrapekas Aldotas, of course, like a paraphrase of Shir Ashirim, right? Ela shebashas atfila hamasis, hari atfila hanishmasis atadirus himizgalu befoil. Very, very beautiful. He's saying that at the time of actual tefillah, so the tefillah desire is now revealed. In other words, it's like you're actually giving expression to your true desire of the neshama, which is to daven, and now it's type of like letting it loose. It's almost like when I read this, I don't know if it's a great analogy, but I'm reminded that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the Kuzari, he says he implies that tefillah is type like a mini Shabbos three times a day. You know what I mean? Where you are released on Shabbos, I'm released from all the problems and the worries and the of the weekday life and all that type of stuff, and I can be the real me, and the true self is able to come out on Shabbos, right? Not obscured by possessions and materialism and work and all that type of stuff, and in a sense he says tefillah is also like that. It's just like three times a day you've got this little window of time, which is almost like a Shabbos, and where you type of, it's almost like you're breathing at that time. Okay, so this is why, I mean, he quotes it later, but Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina in Brochus, when the Gemara says that you're not allowed to run out of a shul, right? You're not allowed to run out of the shul, I mean, less obviously, that's really good Kiddush, but I mean, in general, right, that you're not allowed to run out of the shul. So Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina say there that why? Because the shul is makom hamanucha, place of rest. Like it says of Gan in the Beis Hamikdash, kiloy basem el hamanucha vel anachla, right? And it refers to the manucha and nachla as Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. It's like really strange, you know. What does it mean el hamanucha? How can you call? What are you calling the shul makom hamanucha, which for some people is literal, but what it means is a state of rest. So the Ramosha Shapiro explains, because tefillah is a time when you're actually, you're not pursuing your goals actively by running towards them. You are pursuing things only by one thing, which is recognition that it's in the hands of Hashem, and I'm asking. So I'm in manucha, in a state of rest there. State of rest. So in that sense, it's also very similar to the Shabbos concept that it's menucha, but there's also, and Rav Kook's pointing out, there's also another aspect. Zehu iduna ve'inuga. This is also the pleasure and the enjoyment of the neshama that the neshama actually enjoys, which oinek Shabbos. Yeah.
If we say that, especially from the Rambam, that tefillah is all that, like itzarai, all that expressing to Hashem and how much you're totally desperate and you need Him. Then it doesn't seem like it's. It sounds like it's meaningful in the sense of building a relationship between dependency on Hashem, but it doesn't sound like it's meaningful.
That's true, but that's in terms of the tefillah, which is a chiyuv d'oraisa. So tefillah, which is a chiyuv d'oraisa, according to the Ramban, is only based tzara, and that indeed is not necessarily a menucha. Although even there, in a sense, it's menucha in the sense that it's a recognition that I am powerless without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yes, I have an obligation of hishtadlus. Yes, I have an obligation. But ultimately, right, I'm powerless without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So even there, there's a sense of calm and of menucha. Right? May not be as enjoyable, right? But because it's an ace sorrow, obviously. But there's still the menucha aspect, I think. Okay. So he says here also there's the iduna v'inuga, the joy and the pleasure, hadra v'sifarta, and the glory and the honor, shalatfila of otfila. Shimiz damelo shoshana hapasaches esaleah hanayim likrasatal. It's type of like a flower. I'm not sure if it's a rose. Usually translated as a rose. I don't know if that is accurate. But or nochach karnei ashemesh, right, whether it opens up its petals to receive the dew, or the just by the way, if the beginning of the Zohar, the Jewish people are compared to like in Shir Hashirim, Kishoshana Bein Hachochim, Ken Rayasi Bein Abonos, like a rose amongst the thorns, so is my beloved amongst the women, the daughters. So the Zohar there says that Klal Yisrael is like a Shoshana of 13 petals, like the Yud Gimel. Midos Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the surround the Shoshana, and that opens up towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adin Steinsaltz has a book on introduction to Kabbalah called The 13-Petaled Rose, which is based on that idea. So we say that we're like the... And the analogy of the rose is extended in many ways, but here it's extended to the idea that the petals open up to actually absorb the dew or the sunlight, right? Umafiyam al hamafiyam al abar that appear upon it. Ulachain halavaishi is pal adam kolayon kulas. The Gemara Brachas, which says regarding Rabbi Yochanan that halavai a person should daven all day. So what he's saying is it's an expression of yes, there are moments of tefillah where we designate it as this is the time of tefillah shacharis mincha ma'ariv, but those are actually all just moments where you're type of like opening the window and allowing the true expression of what the soul wants. Yeah. If he's what? Yes.
Such a guy wouldn't even govern, right? Ever. So seemingly, Talmud Torah would.
So it's interesting. Interesting question. If you look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he talks about Avoida, the mitzvah of Tefillah, which is derived from Lo'avdoi b'chol levavchem. So he quotes the Sifri, which says that that Avdehu b'tfilosoi, Avdehu b'torosoi. It is interesting that in the Sifri, it seems to equate Avoidas Halev both in terms of Tefillah and in terms of Torah. So how, you know, as Torah as a subject, how does that work? So one possibility, and I'm sure there's many others, is based on the Nefesh HaChayim, who says that the ultimate Dveikus is where a person is totally absorbed in trying to understand Rotson Hashem, body, soul, intellect, everything, like in the time of Torah study. And he says that actually that is a possibly a higher level of Dveikus than Tefillah and Tehillim, right? And he brings some proofs for this. This is Shara Dalit, if I remember correct, right? So he talks about this quite famously, and that's also the idea of Tefillah. Interesting, there is a story, just a little bit Mesa Listor, not really, but Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was asked, someone with some chutzpah, I guess, if you don't have chutzpah, you can't learn, but someone with some level of chutzpah asked Rabbi Yoshe Ber, apparently, he asked him that when you daven, you know, when you learn, your voice is really quite melodious and it sounds very nice. And apparently, the Soloveitchiks have nice voices. Soloveitchik in Russian means nightingale, like a singing bird, right? As in Florence Soloveitchik. So the guy said it sounds very nice, but when you daven, it doesn't sound so great. It doesn't sound as melodious and stuff like that. So Rabbi Yoshe Ber is supposed to have answered him. He says, when I daven, I'm talking to Hashem. I find it much more interesting when Hashem talks to me. So I'm learning Torah, Hashem's talking to me. Right? When I'm davening, I'm talking to Hashem. Right? So the Nefesh HaChaim would say that the time of tefillah, right? Yes, Hashem is talking to you, but that actually is part of a dialogue, and the soul is type rising to meet and to listen to that, which is also dveikus, and therefore, even according to the Rambam, technically, as the Sifri says, you're actually being you're actually fulfilling that mitzvah of avdehu b'torasa avdehu b'tfilah b'migdosha. Also, it says b'torasoi tfilosa migdosha. I think it says so that might be a possible way to understand that. Okay, hatfila mevakeshes manasham estafkira. The tfilah is type of like asking the soul for it to fulfill its purpose. Ksheavru yamim v'shanim b'loy tfilah b'chavana. Miskabsim believe avnei negef rabim. Wow. He says when months or years have gone by without a tefillah, which is really with intent, so he says it's almost like there are all these like stones and stumbling blocks which accumulate. Shemargishim al yadan kvedus ruach primis, where the person feels a heaviness, internal heaviness of spirit. I guess, you know, the person does. They don't even know what it is. Most people who feel this have no idea why they're feeling it, because they've never actually experienced, right, a beautiful tefillah with kavana, right? And ukshuruach atov choser umatnas tefillah nitenes morim. When the spirit, I guess this spirit of good returns to the person receives the gift of prayer which comes from Hashem, because the Ishbitzer said, before davening, you say Hashem svasai tiftach ufi yagid l'asecha. He says, like, we're davening that we can daven, right? Because he says even that is a gift from Hashem, that you're able to daven, right? So before we daven, we ask Hashem, please give me that gift to have the ability. It's not a simple thing. It's not so easy to daven. I mentioned at the Aguda conference yesterday, talking about off the derech issues. So I mentioned that a good friend of mine, Rabbi Zupnik in Passaic, someone, Balabatin, complained to him that the yeshiva bachrim walk around at the back when they're davening instead of sitting in one place. So Rabbi Zupnik said two things. He said, he says, the nace is that any of these guys are actually sitting down davening, because they've never been taught what davening means. They've been taught why they daven. They don't understand the tefillos. It's just like a nace that anyone's davening. And secondly, chill out. Right? I mean, the guy's in shul, right? It's 3 hours, Shabbos morning. He's a teenager. He's got to sit. He's not talking, right? I don't know if he's davening or not, but okay, he's walking around. Okay, take it easy. You know what I mean? It's like, right. So, but it is. It's a gift, right? It's not everyone's life. Every time the person davens, those type of like stones and that the dirt, so to speak, becomes alleviated. All the various obstacles that have accumulated in the river of life, the upper river of life, holchin basarim, they leave. Okay, is that? Yeah, my watch is different. Okay. So he says there's a certain percentage of it which actually helps to heal the past in the person. It helps to heal those feelings of depression, those feelings of stumbling blocks. Omlam, lo bevasachas nimnei chasaron, but that cannot happen in one shot. It's not like one davening will cure years of it. Aval hoylechu mismalet, but it does accumulate positively. And that skylight of tefillah slowly opens up and reveals the light and helps a person to make progress. Okay, have a great day. God willing, to see you tomorrow.